And we're back on Voices of the Tri-States, and Iowa Senator Charles Grassley joining us today. Senator, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's the weather like in Dubuque? It's kind of a fairly nice day here, considering the fact that it can be 90 degrees and 90-degree humidity here in Washington, D.C. at this time of the year, but it's a relatively nice day.
Oh, I know, you know, and I've been out in D.C. with some of those just so thick you can cut it kind of days with the humidity, but we've got some rain today and a little bit more humid, but I'll tell you, Senator, some of the weather that we've had lately, absolutely beautiful around here with those low overnights in the 50s and then upper 70s, mid-70s for daytime highs. I'm sure the corn doesn't always appreciate it. I think our corn likes that humid weather, too.
Without a doubt, and it grows faster, too.
Yep, I understand. I'm trying corn, actually, in my home garden this year for the first time ever. I'm excited about doing something like that, just to join in and say, yep, I grew corn at one point in my life. But
Sure. Anyway,
Senator, I want to jump into all kinds of issues that we've got here, particularly hot and front and center, that health care bill. And we have delayed the vote on that. So what happens now?
Well, hopefully between yesterday and Friday, all of the different points of view that were not settled so the bill could come to a vote tomorrow will be settled, and the bill will be changed accordingly. And all the things, let me define. On the conservative, that it didn't put enough market forces decisions for the consumer. On the more liberal end, it probably changed Medicaid too much. So getting those 15 to 20 people together to sit down in a room and compromise their differences by Friday. And then don't forget, because of the 4th of July, we're not in session next week. And during that week, the Congressional Budget Office would have a whole week to score what the new policy would cost. And then with that information, we would start debate on it the Monday after the 4th of July.
Senator, I'm sure you've taken a look at this bill. And one of the things, and you mentioned this, some of the competition and some of the things that I'm sure your constituents have said, hey, you know, and we've talked about this on this show, too, of can you, you know, cross state lines with the insurance? Can we finally get that into a bill? Does what the current form, does it do that? And would any revision ever do that?
A revision would do that and could do that, and I support that. But in the process that we're using now called reconciliation, where there's a predetermined 20 hours of limit on debate, and that's under law. It's not something that Congress just decided. It's been that way since 1974. And only one of the few, one or two things that there's limit on debate, so you don't have to have 60 votes. Under those very precise rules, you could not take up that particular item that you discuss, but there's going to be dramatic improvements in health care through what we're doing and undo some of the unkept promises, or I mean the law that did not deliver the promises that Obamacare promised, and try to have affordable care accessibility for everybody, but not have a law that says you have to buy something if you don't want to buy health insurance.
And we've talked about this, too, but I think it's kind of important to reemphasize this. Doing nothing really will hurt a lot of Iowans, because we've had all of our folks that are in this marketplace drop out but one, and that one, I think, is just on the fence and maybe dropping out regardless. So something has to be done.
Absolutely right, and that's what we're up to. And hopefully a week from Monday we start debate on a bill that will bring about needed improvements in Obamacare. I wish I could say that Obamacare was repealed and replaced, but we're making very dramatic and useful changes to Obamacare.
All Okay. Senator, along the health care lines, I know you had sent out some information, the FDA, some steps to hopefully improve some access to less costly medications. Let's talk a little bit about that. What needs to be done?
Okay. First of all, I don't know the details because I've just read about it in the media,
okay.
But the brand new director of FDA, Dr. Gottlieb, is committed to getting generics on the market faster. Now, how he's going to go about doing that wasn't very clear from what I've read so far. But also, I can propose two pieces of legislation that will help him get there. And maybe he has the authority to do some of what these bills do, but I don't know that for sure. One would be to do away with a process called pay for delay, which is another way of saying that a company that owns a patent and the patent company runs out and you would expect the price of that product to go down dramatically as generic competition came in, they would pay a generic company to keep their product off of the market for 1, 2, 3, 4 years. I don't know how long that goes on, but not forever, for sure. And then you basically keep the monopoly of the patented drug and the price where it's been for the last several years. And that would do away with that process. And secondly, there's a process where companies want to buy a product that's come off patent so they can make a generic and sell it, and they have to have the approval of the FDA. If they develop the background for FDA to study their product, even though it's similar to the patent product, then it just takes a long, long time, and you don't get the generic on the market very fast if you get it on the market at all. So this bill would require the companies to sell their research and statistics and background for approval to that company, so the company then submits that to the FDA and get the generic drug on the market much faster.
Along those lines, there's information that I know recently you told the Inspector General that when we get back to that whole issue of the EpiPen, that taxpayers may have overpaid for that EpiPen as much as $1.27 billion. That's 2006 through 16. And the White House was working on some kind of an executive order to address, you know, not only that, but some of the things you were talking about. Is that all rolled into the same thing that we're talking about here?
It's got a lot to do with the price of drugs, yes. But this is a situation where we've got to take steps to recapture money that EpiPen company benefited from it. And has to pay the taxpayers back this $1.2 billion.
Wow, that is a lot of money, Senator. It just overwhelms me on that. I'm going to switch gears from health care, talk about this Russian investigation with the president and staff surrounding us. I'm thinking there are more twists and turns to this than any soap opera I've seen. And you almost have to have a scorecard to see who the new players in the field are and what's going on. Is there anything new or anything significant in this investigation right now? I'm not seeing that anything has been really proven, that anything has been done that's either illegally or something that is, you know, so offensive that somebody should be removed from an office right now. Is anything new, Senator?
Not from the point of view as you asked your question, what you observed is very accurate, except I could add one thing. The only thing that really has been proven is that there is leaks of classified information. That's a felony, and find the person and get them arrested and get them convicted. But we don't know who it is. Well, we do know a separate issue, separate from Russia. There was people that were doing those things down in Florida, and they got arrested,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to go to trial. So I guess the only thing new since the last time you and I talked is the appointment of a special counsel.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of preempts what the four congressional committees that are doing are investigating it. But we've expanded our investigation based upon Comey's testimony before the Intelligence Committee when he said that not only were the Russians, or not only was the president trying to interfere with the FBI investigation, and that's why Comey got fired, that's what's assumed. I don't know whether it's the president's real reason, but that's what everybody thinks. And in that testimony, Comey said that he was confronted by the same political interference in his investigation of the Clinton email when then Attorney General Lynch tried to get him to soften his talk about Hillary Clinton being under investigation. She didn't want to be called an investigation. She wanted to be called a matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, because that's what Hillary was talking about, the email matter.
And that leads into the next question. Your committee is probing Lynch, well, reported Lynch assurances to stifle the Clinton email investigation. Is that right?
Yeah, there's email that indicates that she promised some people she would make sure that the email investigation didn't go to a point of interfering with the Clinton election or to touch Clinton personally.
Very interesting. Senator, I want to switch gears to something that I know you and I have talked about before, too, this one on the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers. They've on this proposed rule now to withdraw that controversial waters of the U.S. rule. This has got to be a very good thing, especially for agriculture.
Yes. It's been a good thing for over a year now that the courts have held it up, but the courts holding it up isn't a finality to it until they'd rule that it's either constitutional or not constitutional. So there's a certain process under the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946 that when you issue regulations, you write them, you put them out for public comment. Maybe 6 months, no more than 6 months, people comment, you consider those comments, you might change it, or you might go ahead with it just exactly the way you wanted it, or you could even not go ahead at all. But they decided to go ahead, maybe considering some people's comments, so effectively it's the law of the land, except for it's being held up by the court. So what EPA is doing, they're issuing a regulation rescinding the waters of the U.S. rule, but they have to go through that same process of putting out maybe a one-sentence statement saying we're withdrawing the rule. They've got to get public comment. Then they have to consider those comments, and after they've considered those comments, then they can decide, yeah, they want to do away with it. And this administration does want to do away with it. So except for taking 6 months period of time to get public comment, I'd say the rule's effectively done away with.
All righty. And, Senator, again, I want to remind our audience today we are talking federal issues with Iowa Senator Charles Grassley. And if you do have a question for the senator, give us a call here, 690-1370. Senator, I'm going to switch gears, talk a little bit about the Supreme Court. They did announce they're going to review the lower court decision that had blocked portions of the president's executive order that temporarily would pause admission of refugees and halting visas issued to certain nations known to harbor terrorists. In the meantime, the court, of course, will allow much of the executive order to take effect. And I guess just your thoughts on this.
Well, I think it's quite a victory for the president. And I think these lower court decisions, particularly where they cited as a basis for their overruling the president, that the president had said certain things during the campaign that were the motivation for these rules rather than the national security. And we got a judicial body that is supposed to make decisions on what the law says, on the facts of the case. And surely what a president says during a campaign isn't the law of the land, but they cited that is his motivations and why what he was doing was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court basically made that argument by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals a baseless argument, and I think the right argument. And I think the fact that it's almost a total victory for the president.
What I find interesting is, and I guess I and get your take on this too, I've never seen the court so much influenced whether the judge is a Democrat or Republican than I have now. And, of course, these other lower court decisions by very, very liberal judges, and I've not seen that kind of a situation so much before. Or maybe I just haven't observed.
Well, from the standpoint of them making a decision on a comments that a candidate made during the campaign, mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. I haven't seen that before. And I didn't ring the Supreme Court decision. Whether they commented on that point is one of the reasons for overruling, but it's a good result regardless.
Okay. I want to talk about the president's signing of a bill that makes it easier to fire poorly performing employees at the Department of Veterans Affairs. That's also got to be a victory.
A victory for our veterans.
Yep.
A victory, a defeat for the bureaucracy, a victory for whistleblowers, and I think it'll end up in higher quality medical care being delivered to our veterans, something that we owe them. Bottom line is that we thought we took care of this situation with legislation passed in 2014. I believe one person was fired, but that person got their job back by going through the Justice Department. So we're back to square one. This bill tries to correct and does better job of correcting than what we did in our 2014 legislation.
What I find interesting, Senator, is that, you know, in the private sector, someone's not performing. Of course, they, you know, give them their walking papers. But in this situation, that we actually have to have legislation that does that.
The bureaucracy could have taken care of this on their own, but they don't. And this sends a stronger signal that when Congress passed something in 2014, we meant business, but nobody back then thought we meant business. I guess this proves that we did.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about nursing home abuses. And when I say that, some residents being abused by actual workers that are there, photos that I guess are going on social media and Snapchat. How big of a problem is this? And you know, what are we doing to stop this from happening?
I thought with my investigation of a year ago and exposing this and the actions that certain nursing home associations took that it was the end of it. But I suppose you can't expect every nursing home to police everything that every one of their employees is doing every minute that they're on the job. So you get people exposing the private parts of patients in embarrassing situations. I haven't seen the pictures, so I'm just describing to you what I read.
Right.
And it's inhumane. And in most instances, when it's been exposed, the people have been fired. But it still shows that people are continue to be inhumane even after Grassley exposes it, and we get government action to stop it. I don't think more laws are necessary. Just the enforcement of the existing laws. But when it gets right down to it, whether the nursing home administrator's going to run a legitimate operation or not.
Well, and I also wonder, and again, not necessarily on, right, you're right, more legislation, but places like this Snapchat and whether it's Facebook or whatever, I don't know which places, and they probably get posted on all of them, that maybe those places need to be, and maybe they can't be, I don't know, to be fined, because in some cases, like you say, if you've got residents' private parts or whatever, that just is pornography.
I think they can be fined, but probably the better thing to do is make sure the people get fired.
Right, get them out of there.
And don't get another job in a nursing home.
Right, and make sure it does not happen to begin with, and make sure that they are doing their background checks on those folks as well. I want to talk about an issue that I didn't think that we would be talking about, but free speech when it comes to college campuses. Apparently, this seems to be a problem nationwide.
without a doubt. And hopefully we'll do something about it. Do you have a follow-up question on that particular point? Go ahead.
Yeah, I do on that. So I guess that's the question of, and I've seen the stories of someone was going to speak at a certain campus, and then they had to cancel it because they had a group that said that they were being offended by it or this or that.
Yeah. So, well, not only that, but violence. Look at what happened in Berkeley in California.
Right.
A bunch of thugs come in and did $100,000 worth of damage by busting up glass windows and doors and stuff like that. But the most important thing is that it violates the whole principle of a university. A university ought to be, if any place in the United States where you would have respect for other people's point of view and have discussion of those, and so everybody can learn from the discussion, get their points of view in. Where else would you expect it at a university? And there it's being submerged and not being practiced, and the First Amendment freedom of speech is being violated.
And that's the part, I guess, that I look at our society to say, hey, if there's a group and they want someone to speak here, you know, it's what's good for one side of the fence is also good for the other, you know, in case this, you know, unless the speaker is, you know, violating some type of a law, you know, doing something during their speech that they shouldn't be doing. And I scratch my head thinking, well, aren't these the same groups that have been fighting for their folks to be able to speak? And why is this happening? So what are we doing? I mean, or is it just, again, another instance that we need to enforce what we already have so that allows this freedom of thought?
I don't know why you have to pass any legislation, but I suppose, well, you shouldn't have to pass any legislation. The First Amendment is, for 240 years, has been the basis for everything we're doing, particularly political speech and enforcement of it. But I suppose if the federal government wanted to step in, and by the way, my committee had a hearing on this, and you may have referred to that hearing, where we had a broad discussion of this whole issue. The whole motivation behind the history is to bring publicity to it and maybe get universities to see it a little bit different. And I pointed out the University of Chicago standard that they aren't going to tolerate, and they're going to invite anybody of any political view to speak, and they're going to be treated humanely and with respect. But if we had to do something, I suppose it would be putting some limitation on federal dollars that go to a particular university. In other words, if you can't practice open debate on your campus, there's certain federal dollars you aren't going to get.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Senator, here, and I believe we have a caller coming in here, and Larry, you are on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I would just like to ask the Senator Grassley if he's going to vote for the new health bill that Trump wants to run through.
Okay, we'll let you go. And, Senator, did you hear that?
He's given too much credit to Trump. The reason we're having problems here is Trump hasn't been involved enough. And so anybody that's given Trump credit for this shouldn't be. But I need to have your caller contact me maybe a week from Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday of that week, because right now this bill is going through a rewrite. And then it's got to be scored by the Congressional Budget Office. So I can't tell him what bill I can't refer to what bill he wants me to vote for or against.
Okay. All righty, Senator. Well, it sounds like health care is definitely on tap for you as we finish out June here. Anything else big coming up we should know about?
Yes. I think that when we get done with health care reform, we're going to move immediately to tax revision. And if we accomplish tax revision, it would be the most revolutionary change of the tax code since 1986.
All righty. Great. Well, Senator, as always, our time goes quickly, but we appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll talk to you again next month.
Yeah. Goodbye.